Akayed Ula came to the U.S. from Bangladesh in 2011 on a type of visa for the children of siblings of U.S. citizens. And following the New York attack, President Trump has repeated his call to end chain migration. About two-thirds of the 1 million people who are granted permanent residence each year came to the U.S. based on family connections. It might not surprise you to hear that this has an impact on the U.S. economy. Dr. Pavan Dhingra is a sociology professor at Tufts University. How long has family-based migration been around, and how does it work exactly?
Well, it's been around for decades, and it works in a pretty straightforward fashion of you migrate, and you then petition a sponsor for your family members to join you. It can be siblings, parents, could be adult children as well. And then the problem has been that there's an incredible backlog. Family members can take years, even decades, to finally arrive to the U.S.
So make the economy connection for us. You've done a lot of research and written a book about one particular group, one case study, Indian motel owners. How does family-based migration affect that industry?
The punchline I want to say up front is if you get rid of chain migration or limit it severely, you're not just impacting the lives of immigrants, you're actually impacting the U.S. economy at large. The motel industry is a great example of this. So in case your listeners don't know already, about half of the motels in the United States are owned by Indian Americans. It's a pretty startling statistic.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Well, and this would not have happened without chain migration. All these immigrants came from India, starting in the 1940s and 50s. Now, chain migration matters in the following way. I purchased a motel, relatively inexpensive place in Ohio. I then sponsor my sibling to come. My sister joins me with her family. So we're all living in the motel, my family and her family. They help me run the business. They learn the business. I'm saving on expenses. They're getting capital and experience. And then they go off and buy a motel in Arizona. And this is not, I'm not making these examples up. That's actually an example you will hear. And then they'll do the same thing. And this has been how the Indian population came to have a strong foothold in the motel industry, and in the process, we employ a number of local people to be front desk clerks, housekeepers, and the like. And it's also what allowed for local economies to have more tax dollars and et cetera, et cetera.
But if chain migration were to end, wouldn't those jobs and opportunities in the motel industry just go to somebody else?
No, because these owners can't afford to hire people and pay them minimum wage. Now, they do hire staff. They have repair people and the like. But they cannot hire enough people to run the motel on their income alone, on what they're making through renting out the rooms alone. So these motels would close down. The people who are local workers would be out of a job. So no, the answer is not as simple as replacing the family labor with paid local labor.
So I've often been curious about this, like why certain cities and communities end up with concentrations of certain nationalities, like Houston, a lot of Nigerians and Cameroonians, here in Boston, many Haitians and Ethiopians, Los Angeles, Armenians. Is part of the answer to this chain migration, like you have one family that puts down roots in a place and then other family members follow?
Right. It's the combination of chain migration plus local economies. So as you suggested, right, people settle in an area, their relatives come to live with them at first or live near them. And then the local economy hopefully can take them in and give them a grounding. Once an immigrant group gets known to be in a certain kind of niche, whether that be small business ownership, whatever it is, then relatives can more easily find occupations in those same industries. So if a town is known for a certain sector of the economy, then it makes it easier for a group to kind of have a stronger density and presence there.
Dr. Pavan Dhingra, a sociology professor at Tufts University. Thanks for being with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.